Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer James Platy. Well, they're certainly not being made for middle America, but some of the world's top luxury car manufacturers now focusing their attention on the SUV market and rolling out some stunning new vehicles, potentially. Wall Street Journal reporter Vanessa Fuhrman's recently writing about it. You can find her article on WSJ.com. Vanessa, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
Now, you're based in Germany, is that right?
Yes, I'm in Berlin.
I see. Now, you're talking about Bentleys, Maserati, Lamborghini, and that they're all pushing into this market. What's happening here? Are the ultra-rich tired of driving their sports cars?
Well, according to these super luxury car makers, they're just tired of perhaps riding in a just run-of-the-mill luxury SUV like a Porsche Cayenne or a BMW X5. The feeling is that this is a big area where the really high end of the luxury makers could move into.
When you're talking about Bentley or Lamborghini making an SUV, do we know what kinds of over-the-top luxury features these vehicles would have?
Well, I was at the Geneva Car Show last week and got a glimpse of the concept SUV that Bentley is unrolling, and there's a lot of bling attached to it. Essentially, there are diamond quilted leather seats, built-in iPads for every passenger, silk wool carpet mats, floor mats, and the back opens up into a pretty plush tailgate party, if you want that, with a picnic set with silver and Lalit crystal, and the list goes on.
I see. All the essentials, basically.
Exactly.
Now, Porsche and Mercedes-Benz have already gotten into the SUV game. Have their sales results been an inspiration for these other luxury automakers to get in?
Yes, the real model is Porsche, which came out with the Cayenne just a few years ago, and now the Cayenne makes up about a half of Porsche's sales. Another quarter of its sales are made up by a sedan it introduced a few years before. So the company's growth has really taken off, and it's really because of these non-sports car models. The company doesn't really, I mean, the company still sells a handful of sports car models, you can say, but it really sells a lot of SUVs.
Now, the Bentley SUV that you saw, it's not for sale yet, is it?
No, it's a concept right now. They were showing it at the Geneva Car Show basically to show it not only to the media but to a pretty exclusive set of customers and potential customers and to get their reactions. We're talking about pretty wealthy people. They've flown in from all over the world to get a look and to give their feedback. And from there, they'll decide whether to give the green light to producing the car. But it's pretty safe to say they want to produce one because they feel there's clearly a market there.
And the reaction at the show, was it generally all positive?
Well, it was a little critical, you could say. I saw and read remarks that ranged anywhere from a rapper's delight to a whole lot of bling. One can keep in mind, Porsche was criticized a lot when they moved to the Cayenne as well, and certainly. This is a car that has both sort of old-school rich and nouveau riche qualities, so it's going to attract a lot of that kind of comment.
I'm talking to Wall Street Journal reporter Vanessa Fuhrman. She recently wrote about these luxury SUVs that will soon be on the market for those who can afford them. You can find her article at WSJ.com. When it comes to the demand for these high-end SUVs, is it coming from the U.S. or are most of the sales expected to occur elsewhere?
Well, the U.S. will be a big market. The U.S. has traditionally been a big market for these super high-end luxury car makers, but the real prize is China, where you have a lot of a fast-growing class of millionaires and very wealthy entrepreneurs who have been flocking already to these really big, high-priced, and very lavishly loaded models. And many of them want bigger cars. They're still living in countries that have poor roads, and they want to also be able to transport a family. It isn't just for fun. So there is a potential market there for this very exclusive bunch of drivers.
And Maserati and Lamborghini, are they likely to unveil a model sometime soon?
Yes, well, Maserati is already on its way. They've already unveiled a model, and it's actually built on the same underpinnings as the Chrysler Jeep Grand Cherokee, that's because both companies are owned by Fiat. And despite that, it was still going to probably boast a more than $100,000 price tag. And Lamborghini, on the other hand, has not yet unveiled an SUV, but it's expected to next month at the Beijing Auto Show.
I see. Now, all these SUVs will run, you say, over $100,000, what, close to $200,000 even?
Definitely. When I spoke to the Bentley CEO last week, he said they definitely want to price this above the most expensive SUV that is out there, which is the Porsche Turbo S, and that's already at its most lavishly loaded option, running at $130,000.
When they make these kinds of incredibly high-end vehicles, even if they're new, like these SUVs, I assume that there's no question whatsoever that they will sell without a problem. Is that generally the case?
It's not a clear-cut business case, but these car makers currently sell to such an exclusive bunch and at pretty limited models that even if they sell 1,000 or 2,000 a year, that's quite a success. Ferrari, for instance, last year introduced a four-seat Ferrari FF, which starts at $295,000. And they consider this their family car because you can actually ride around in the speed demon with your wife or your husband and two children in the back. It's still very much a sports car, but they sold 1,000 of those, or I should say 800 last year, and are projected to sell 1,000 this year. And that's already an 11% boost to their sales.
And when it comes to these buyers, I'm guessing manufacturers are not concerned about gas spiking in any way.
Let's say if you can afford a $180,000 SUV, you probably can afford a spike in gas prices.
And one thing you note in the article is that Rolls-Royce is not interested in getting into the SUV market. Is it clear why they're holding back, or is it probably just a matter of time before they change their mind?
Well, I think they, like all of these high-end car makers, but perhaps more than most, are concerned about preserving exclusivity. That's the other side of this. The more cars you sell to customers, the more risk you are taking with losing some of that exclusive cachet. So they say, in principle, they're not against producing an SUV, but whatever they do in the future, and they will expand the model line, it will be at prices that are as high as the Phantom and Ghost models that they're selling now, and that means probably over $300,000 or around that.
I'm guessing once you go into this market, as Porsche and Mercedes-Benz have you're pretty much there permanently once you see that the market is there and people get to know your vehicles.
That can be the case, except there have been flops. I mean, Daimler, the maker of Mercedes, they relaunched this brand called the Maybach. That may ring a bell with you, but it really never took off, and then its sales slowly declined until the point where they sold less than 200 last year, and just a few months ago they decided to close that brand down altogether.
One more thing, at the car show in the Geneva car show you attended, was there any talk of making these vehicles potentially hybrids, or is that not really being considered?
Yes, the Bentley is definitely being considered as a hybrid, partly because these car makers want, you know, in addition to selling their customers the most luxury they can, they want to sell them the most advanced technology they can, and they believe that offering them technologies like hybrid technologies is a way to do that.
Vanessa Fermans, Wall Street Journal reporter. You can find her article on these luxury SUVs at WSJ.com. Vanessa, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thank you.